This is CliffCentral.com.
So it's a Thursday and the clock just hit 12:03 and welcome to the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. Gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
What's up, what's up? I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm 100%, can't complain.
More than 100%, right? You know, before the show, it was actually quite funny because we're sitting out there trying to prepare for the show, trying to think about the new show going forward, and Lesego was in like deep thought. I'm like, Lesego, what's happening, bruh?
Hey, dog, this president thing by 2035 is deep, man.
It was so stressful. It seemed like some girl told him that she's pregnant. I was like, whoa.
You just took it to another level.
But that's what it was, bruh. Like, it looked hectic, bruh. People were asking, what's happening with you, bruh? You're looking at, there was a baby outside, and no, the baby looked cute and everything. Lesego was looking at the baby, and then he's looking at... And then he's looking at Janet, ne? And then you're busy looking at her. And then she's like, "Don't like you. Why are you like so stressed? You're looking at the baby, then you're looking at me, and then you're in deep thought. What's happening to you?"
I know. That type of stress, man, that's like on another level. Hey, you like start sweating right here at your forehead, here by your ears.
Hey, bro.
In my mind, I'm like the crew just took this to another level.
But that's the picture I had, bro. I was like... Lesego, bro, like this thing, this job must really be killing you, bro, because you were in deep thought, bro. The type of stress you had is the type of stress most men have when they hear that their boo has got a baby, they've got
it's
a bun.
Interesting, actually, because I wonder if the stress is something that is the same for black and white people. I think if the government were to say there's a law in place now, and the first word that the father says when they hear that the wife is pregnant or the girlfriend is pregnant, that's the child's name.
Then most babies would be called...
White kids would be, "Oh my gosh, that's wonderful.
I know a black kid."
You know, like, what a blessing. Black kids would be like,
"Not
Ace."
Ace.
Not mine. Mm-mm. No.
Not mine. Not mine, Mapanga.
Not mine, Mapanga.
What you're bringing up is a very... dude, you just took a whole different spin to the show.
My God, like, I was looking at you and I was like...
That is probably the biggest stress that you could have as a young person right now.
You?
Imagine the class register. Not now, Mapanga, present. Ace Petros, present.
I was actually listening to the radio the other day. There was a guy from Angola. He changed his name, but his original name was Misery.
Goodness.
Misery. Yo.
How deep is that?
Yeah, I know. Some people have some deep...
It's weird. But I mean, there are some cases where the culture is, if something bad happens within the family, right?
Yeah.
Like someone dies from a tragic car accident or something like that, then they name the next child that comes with a very bad name to chase away evil spirits.
Yeah.
So that's why people have names like Matlakala.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Then you've got people that are called Ntando Yengosi, and they won Miss South Africa because they're called Ntando Yengosi.
So guys, can I just ask about that? So last year, obviously, we were at Miss South Africa, right? We're there. Where was it? Sun City?
Sun City.
We saw the whole thing planned out. We know who we wanted to win. At least who we thought was going to win.
Who was supposed to win.
Who was supposed to win, right? And in my mind, and I kept saying it last year, I was like, okay, hold on. So this chick won. She's from a certain place. It's a disadvantaged area. All I'm saying, it's a really good PR story.
Mm-hmm.
Whether she deserves to win Miss Africa or not is another
completely different issue.
I mean, obviously, another thing is, I mean, South Africa is a big place. So there's a lot of ladies in this country. And to try and say you are Miss South Africa representing all the other ladies...
That's a deep thing, eh?
It is a bit of a deep thing, right? And the other thing is, I mean, it's a business after all. Someone who sat and thought about it and said, how could I make some money? And how am I going to attract sponsors and get to do something like this?
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, it's also a great platform for the ladies who do participate in the thing to just become more and also do more in terms of doing things for the community as well.
So I'm going to put out three scenarios. So it was last year Miss Africa, right? Which was very debatable.
Yeah.
And then there was Miss World. I don't know if you guys remember.
Yeah.
It was Miss World with Miss Jamaica with the really short hair.
Yo, the dreads. No, she had dreads.
Yeah. No, but they were actually quite short dreads though. They weren't long.
Yeah, but they were something special.
And she was a flame. Like everybody was like, you know, you deserve it, etc., etc. And then, you know, obviously she didn't win. People were like, but there's certain criteria. You need to have long hair. You need to look this way, etc., etc.
Yeah.
Very backwards type of thinking. And now comes this year. I was sitting with my mom. I was
you actually forgot something. Miss Universe, the Steve Harvey moment. That was priceless. That was a beautiful thing. Like, yo.
That was heat. But you know, the thing about the Steve Harvey one, even if either one of those women had won Miss Universe, they deserve it because they're heat, man.
Yeah, but that video was epic, right?
Yo. That video was epic.
Okay, so now bring it to this year. Let's hear this year.
So now this year, I'm there, right? I'm watching it. I was actually watching it with my mom.
Yeah.
And we're looking at all the contenders. I'll be honest. The first time I saw Rhea,
yeah,
I was like, yes.
Yeah. No, like, Rhea was, the whole walk, bro.
Her walk. I mean, that's what you need. Like, she had presence. You know what I mean? She had presence. And then, obviously, they became top five, and then she was eliminated. And then I just knew, okay, downhill from here.
But I always had the Rose of Mamelodi in store. Like, I always felt that she should have won.
So, coming on to Sharon, right? So, Sharon is a heater. Also, let's not forget, Sharon trended before they announced Miss Africa. So already we know that South Africa was voting for Sharon.
Yeah.
Already we know that the entire country wanted Sharon to win.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, they then announced the top three. As soon as they announced first, second princess, and first princess, I walked out the living room. I was like, Sharon's taking it. It's done.
Yeah, it's done.
I was like, it's done. I went to the kitchen to go make food because, duh.
And then you came back.
And then my mom was like, basically, and I was like, no.
So it was hectic for me because I was calling it as it goes. So just before they announced second princess, I said Tyler's gonna get second princess. Perfect.
Yeah.
I was like, no, who's gonna be first princess? Elizabeth. I said Elizabeth. People were saying Ntando. People wanted Ntando to be first princess.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, it's gonna be Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Elizabeth. And then it got to Miss South Africa, and I was like, yeah, no, Sharon. Sharon's got this.
It's done.
But then my mom, I was talking to my mom about this, and she was supporting Sharon, but she was also supporting Ntando.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, she was watching it, right? And she's like, and the winner is. And then she saw both of them, and she wanted both of them to win. Then she said, Ntando Yonkosi. Ntando Yonkosi wins! Wow. I'm like, ah, oh, man,
it's
really?
Your mom's fault, basically.
Really?
Like, it's your mom's fault.
Really?
You gotta blame your mom. She ruined everything for
her. Yes, you, bro.
Yeah, how old is Miss South Africa right now?
I think she's 22, if I'm not mistaken.
22.
Yeah.
It usually ranges between 21 and I think 27. Mm. I think that range. But the thing that my mom says, before we carry on, my mom was questioning Sharon's hair.
Mm.
There was a whole debate of, maybe she should have done her hair, had a weave, had it long. And I was like, no, mom.
That's the reason she should have won,
that's
man.
That's the reason she should have won, because that is how black young black woman's hair is,
and that's who she
was
is
different, and that's who she is. She came through with something different.
Well, at least, I mean, let's give her props. She's 22 years old. She's Miss South Africa, and that's a good thing, you know.
Yeah, no, that's a very good thing. Like, I have to say, let's just give her a round of applause, you know.
Yeah,
she deserves it, man. Like, I guess in our eyes she doesn't deserve it, but she does deserve it.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say about Miss Africa, though, is you can't have four people judging who's going to represent the whole country.
Yeah, that's
so
not
again,
true.
I don't blame Tandy Nkosi. You're a beautiful girl. Do your thing. It's not your fault. But if you're ever running Miss Africa, you need to catch a wake-up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's ask you. What were you doing when you were 15? How about 19? Or even 22? I've got here a list of really cool people. But let's ask you first. Lesejo, at 15, what were you up to?
At 15, I was a sprinter at 15.
Yeah.
That's when I started my athletic career. 19, what was I doing at 19?
You were an engineer.
I was an engineer. 22, I was a Sharon in 22.
Yeah.
That's when I did Miss South Africa, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was a Sharon. And now I'm a banker.
That's cool. Very interesting.
And how about you?
Okay, so at 15, I was a provincial hockey player.
Yes,
in my past. Dreams of being a South African hockey player.
Na.
But hey, man, didn't work out. And at 19, I was a first-year engineering student. Learning life, right? Experiencing life. At 22, I was a South African national champion representing South Africa on a global stage.
My goodness.
For entrepreneurship. So
drops the mic.
And now I'm a speaker and radio personality.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Well, I've got a list here of a couple of...
Wait, where's that? Tell us about you, bro. I feel like you don't want to tell us.
No, but I was asking you guys so I can talk about the list.
But come I want to know, bro. And we all want to
people
know.
People want to know.
Yeah, we all want to know.
Jeez, man. I don't like... well, let me think. Okay, what was I doing at 15? At 15, I was a loser.
Oh my gosh. A round of applause for honesty, dog. A round of applause for honesty, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
All right, yeah, I was playing for the B team, Rappi, you know, I was still a nobody, but at 16, everything started changing. I felt like I joined God's Illuminati, you know, because that's where life like completely changed for me.
Yeah.
So I became a provincial Rappi player. I represented, you know, the province, and at 19, I was at university, still playing. I'd now finished with my Rappi career. I'd gone into you know, engineering, plus I'd also gone into MCing. So I was MCing for Sun International, doing some things on that side. I started voiceover artistry around just before 22, and that's been going really well. I mean, I started hearing my voice all around the world, and yeah, man, it's been proper, and now I'm here, man.
Ain't that a beautiful thing, bro? Okay, so tell us about these inspiring young individuals that
you have. All right, cool stuff. So if you're one of these 12 entrepreneurs right here, the answer is at 12, 11, 13, or maybe 19, you were changing the world. Each of them were chosen as part of the 2013 annual Anzisha Prize. All right, now this is a prize, I think it's probably still going on this year as well.
Yeah.
This prize right here, it seeks to support people in business between the ages of 15 and 22 years old. So what they do is they choose 12 finalists, and they share a prize of $75,000.
This is serious,
like,
bro.
Multiply that by 15.8. Yeah, that's rand.
That's a scary
number.
That's
a lot of money.
Yeah.
All right. So they get granted funding so that they can invest this into their business and so on as well. So out of 333 applicants across 22 countries, only 12 get chosen. I'll just read out a few of them. I actually went through the list.
Yeah, read the interesting ones.
Yeah, man, I've got a few interesting ones here. So at the tender age of 21, Konjeto Chinyama from Malawi.
Props for pronouncing the name properly.
Yeah,
yo,
man. So she I'm not too sure if it's a he or a she. I'll probably find out within the paragraph. But this person right here was in the probably like a consumer services space. A project title was Pagwatu. All right. So Chinyama was a student at the University of Malawi and is the founder of Malawi's first online real estate portal. Pagwatu, which is the brand itself, enables people to find property throughout the country and sift through a plethora of properties based on location, price, and other variables. I mean, this is not necessarily new in the world, but it's new for Malawi.
Mm.
And this young person at 21 did it.
That's
powerful. This proves that, you know, sometimes when you're sitting and you're thinking, yeah, but I'm sure someone has thought of it already. you never know. Yeah, maybe someone thought of it in another country, but maybe right there where you are, it's not there yet. And you might just be the first in your country. And I mean, you might have thought, if you're from a different country and you're listening to this project, you thought, ah, well, it's already been done. I'm sure you're not going to win. But look, she did. And I mean, a good share of $75,000 was hers. That's a pretty good thing, man. There's another one right here. This one's pretty interesting. It's a lady, actually. She's 19 years old, and she's from Rwanda. So her name is Joey Sangwa. So she's in the energy industry. Now, have a listen to this. So her project title was Domestic Biogas Used. What happened is a social entrepreneur, she's a social entrepreneur, and she saw the energy production was harmful to the environment in many capacities, and sought to try and see if there isn't a cheaper, more renewable energy that she could use.
Mm.
She and her team found human waste. Human waste
to, 19,
be,
yo, this
to
is
be a good source of energy, and developed a process to turn human waste, often seen as a hygiene and a sanitation problem, to an energy solution.
Mm.
This ingenuity and innovation has allowed for families to utilize resources that are often left to rot away, and instead of using them as a cheap alternative to energy, and that saves families great percentages of money in their annual budget. So Sangwa currently runs her business as a non-profit to help families in regions that the nation that the nation might need and so on. So, I mean, it's a really, really cool thing. She's only 19.
That's what fascinates me, bro. It's like, how do you see a need like that at 19? I think at 19, I was still trying to figure out myself. I'm busy failing calculus. 158. Remember those days? I'm busy failing 158 at 19, and these people are trying to change the world, or changing the world.
Here's a gentleman you should know. So this kid right here, he invented something at the age of at the age of 11.
Yo.
You were asking how do you know what to do? Where is your mind at? His mind was on the task at hand. So Richard Terere was 11 years old, and he was herding his father's cows, right?
Yeah.
From the age of about 9. Now, he lives in Kenya. Now, Kenya is one of the only capital cities that are actually right there in a national park.
Yeah.
Right? So, what happens is, there's nothing fencing the people from the national park itself. So, zebras...
So, they're in wildlife.
Yeah, yeah. So, zebras roam freely, and this is all fair and good. But then, lions follow the zebras, and... What ends up happening is some of the lions end up coming into the homes as well. So they torment the people because they always chow the livestock. And lions sometimes, because lions are like cats, they like playing. So with them, it's not necessarily always about eating the food. It's about trying to kill as many as you can. And that's not a good thing. So
yes.
So he grew up hating lions for this because, I mean, lions would literally just devastate everything. And so what would happen is he would have to take care of his father's cattle, and then even in the evenings he would have to wake up. That, you know, the farm life is a rough life, guys. They were like, "Yeah, Baba, you're not gonna sleep if my cattle outside right there. If those cows get chowed, I'm chowing you."
In essence,
you
know?
So he'd get up in the morning, try to see if there was a way to make sure that these lions are not around and so on.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that was always the danger. So what he did at first, because he thought about solving this problem for a long time. So he made a scarecrow, right? He built a scarecrow and put it next to the crow. Mm-hmm. And so it worked on day one. But then on day two, the lions were like, this thing is not moving. So the lions got in and chowed some of the cattle anyway.
Yeah.
And that was a bad thing. So then he sat and thought about it again and again. And now when he was 11, what he did is he walked outside with a flashlight.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, he was checking if there's any lions. And he noticed that the lions would never come close if there's moving light. So he's like, oh, okay.
All right.
This is interesting. So then what he did is... He was fidgeting with his mom's iron. He ended up breaking it because he opened it up. He got a big beating for it. But he says it taught him a lot about electronics. So he devised this next plan, which... So he took, you know how in those farm like areas, sometimes there's that car that's been chilling for like years.
Yeah. For years. Yeah.
So he went to that car, stripped it of its indicator lights, took the indicator lights, connected it to the old battery that was around. Mm. And tried, you know, using a switch or something like that. And what he had was, let's say, 3-4 different lights, and he put them around the crawl in different places, and then somehow connected them now to a battery. And then what would happen is it flashes at different intervals at different places. So it confuses the lion to think someone is standing at the crawl checking with a flashlight, yeah. And the lions never came to come and attack the cattle. So what ended up happening is this worked so well that he actually started installing these for other people in the community as well. Now these are installed all over Kenya with 100% success rate. We're not killing lions anymore, which is a bad thing, and we are saving the livestock, which is a good thing.
So if you drive around Kenya, all you're going to see is flashing lights.
At night, yes. At night, you'll see some flashing lights, yeah. Which is a really cool thing that he did. And then, I mean, this got him so much publicity and so on. He was invited by CNN. He was invited by National Geographic. He was invited by the TED. He was actually doing a TED talk himself.
Oh,
they flew him. Yeah, they flew him to come and do a TED talk, I think. think this was in America or something like that. And I mean, he says that I mean, being a herd boy right there in a, you know, in a rural Kenya, he would always look at the airplanes going past and say, "Oh, one day I'm gonna be in that thing." And till this day, what one of his big wishes is actually to be, you know, I think he wants to be a pilot or maybe an aircraft engineer or something like that.
Yeah.
And this is what he really would like to do. And this is a really cool thing. He's only 13 now. He's very famous.
He's 13 now.
Yeah, he's 13 so right now.
2 years, bro.
He's he did a TED talk at the age of 13.
Yeah,
that guy's a G.
I think it's one of those things that when they say, "Do what you can where you are with what you have."
Exactly.
Right.
That's powerful, bro. Yo, people are changing the world at a young age, bro. Yo.
Yeah, and I mean, he ended up getting a scholarship at one of the top and most prestigious schools in Kenya because of this really cool invention. And it, all you do is you just look at what are your problems where you are. And I think that's a really cool thing.
I think I love the fact that these are Africans, bro. You don't really hear these stories in the world, you know. But what I want to hear, I am first African before I am South African, but I really want to hear about South Africans doing this, bruh. And, you know, we do have a couple of South Africans that we're going to be getting in, yeah, just talking about a few things, which is going to be exciting, you know. But young South Africans, kids that are 10, 11 years old, doing amazing stuff like this, bruh, and meeting needs.
Yeah, we're going to have to start hunting them down. We want to know about as many young people doing really cool things as possible. So maybe actually...
you should let us know.
You can let us know. If you know of anyone who's really cool, doing absolutely amazing stuff, email us at info@unpluggedandincharge.com.
Yeah.
Tell us about it and hopefully we can get them in studio. Maybe we can profile them, put them on the magazine. We'll try to do something
for
them.
Man.
And then we'll be an investor. We'll see how much... Because that's the one thing that me and the previous... inventor had don't have in common. She did the whole bio waste thingy for free. I'm like, no.
The banker has spoken.
That's not gonna happen.
So anyway, I think it's important to get the good news trending, bro. Like, we need to be showcasing young individuals that are changing their world, bro. Yo, this is, it's actually quite inspiring stuff, I have to say, bro. Yo, it's on another level, on another level. So Lesego, what's your kid gonna do one day, bro? Tell us, because I know president of 2035. I'm sure you have something to tell us about your son, bro. I've never heard this, so this is a first.
My kid's going to be beast. He's going to be beast. But the one thing that I'm struggling with the most is actually what to call him. Because there's always there's the normal Super Junior, which is like...
Call him Simba.
Oh my God.
Not in South Africa, because that means something else.
When your son gets bored, you're going to like go up to a hill and then put him in the sky.
Yeah, bro.
And you're going to want everyone to stop their lives and just look up for a moment.
This
and
is like, my son.
Simba has arrived.
There was a point I wanted to call my son Leonidas.
Yeah, I remember
Leonidas.
That.
You remember that?
I remember.
Think about it. Even if you're pissed off at him and you shout at him, you'd be like, Leonidas! It still sounds different. So teachers would be like, no, don't do that. Leonidas! And he'd be like, yeah, that's right. Say my name.
Leonidas Mapanga.
You know, or maybe something like Maximus.
Yeah.
You know, from the Gladiator.
So something as simple as Sandile Mapanga won't work for you.
No, never.
No,
we're
not. Not for less
week.
Like Optimus Prime.
Oh my gosh, bro.
Give him two names. You're Optimus Prime. And you don't allow anyone to say the one without the
without
other.
Without the other, there'll be like a hyphen like, in the middle.
It's like these people who are Jean-Pierre. Optimus Prime. Why can't
it's
I?
It's not gonna be JP anymore. It can't be OP, bro. Like, it doesn't make sense.
It's not gonna make
Optimus
sense.
Prime.
But all I know is, this conversation is very premature. Because essentially,
I think now there's a rumor that Lesego might, you know, be a father soon. It's now an official rumor.
Lesego,
since you started it, now
honestly, started it.
If you were in such deep thought before the show, I would be very scared to hear you say that. So
let me tell you what I'm actually thinking about, right, guys. So 1st of April, I'm moving to my new place, right?
Yeah.
That means that I'm going to finish the whole thing on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
So that means fridge, microwave, couch, bed, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And yes, you realize how expensive life is, right?
So now imagine...
And me being me, I'm like thinking, okay, so what's the most effective way of doing this stuff? Excuse me, so doing the type of thing. So you're already thinking like auctions, you're like, do I have time for an auction? You already think about you're not thinking Corycraft at all. You think about what's the color scheme? Oh my word, guys, like decor is such a headache. What color curtains do you get? Do you get curtains or do you get blinds? You know?
That's and a this complicated
is,
thing.
And here's my thing, because I've been in a hotel for like 3 months now, right? So the thing is, it needs to look good. But yeah. I don't want to go through the trouble of making it look good.
You just want to pay someone to make it look good?
Thing is...
But without the money?
Hella bad. Like minimum wage. Like minimum wage.
Yeah.
Because you do, because you always want something to look good, right?
Yeah.
But it's like doing dishes. You don't want to do the dishes. But you know if the dishes aren't there, then it looks better. And then obviously there's a whole manager thing now at work, so... Guys, the toughest thing about work is managing people. Like, work is not tough. Let me just give you that much advice.
It's people.
It's people.
So people are complicating your life. And that's why you're in such deep thought outside.
Oh, and, like, and then in your mind, you're like, maybe I should just get rid of them. Oh, no, but then, like, arbitration. Oh, no, but then
so wait, Lesego, can I ask you a fundamental question? Because this is a question for you. So I'm going to say a fundamental question because that's your thing. So
fundamental. Famo.
So are these people that you're managing, do you see them as kids?
No,
I just want to understand this. Like,
no, I don't.
Okay, so
I don't. These are adults. Yeah, no, definitely not.
Okay, no.
Because I mean, there's already Sitley, right? Who's my niece?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say nah. Okay. Not at all.
So they're not like your children, bruh.
No.
Okay, no. So they're giving you stress, but they're not like your children.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Nah, you gotta block that out your mind, guys.
Hey, Baba.
Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
So now, what I want to say is like. My guy, please, don't have a kid anytime soon. Because if people are stressing you out in this manner and keeping you in such deep thought, a child...
Do you know, I actually come to a conclusion that not everyone is actually meant to be parents. Yeah. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah.
Just because you're alive, it actually doesn't mean that you must actually find someone to marry and have a kid.
Mm.
Some people are just not built to have kids. Some people are really good at what they do. They're very good athletes. They're very good businessmen. They're very good entrepreneurs. It doesn't mean that you'd be a good father. Yeah,
that's a true thing, bro. But you know, people want their legacy to continue. How does your legacy continue?
I mean, listen. So Steve Jobs is gone, right? Does he have any kids? I don't think he has any kids. Does he?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, but I mean, his legacy will carry on forever. I mean, his name will be enshrined in history forever. So I think we need to start relooking at how legacy is built in the African context.
Yeah.
Because in the African context, it is, I need to leave an heir, and if you just have girls, you keep going until you have a boy, so that your legacy can carry on. But I mean,
that's why there's so many big families.
Exactly. If you're just a random Mahlangu, like, who cares? You don't have a legacy. You know, you just have offspring.
I think Wizza has a fact here.
Just for interest sake, Steve Jobs actually has 4 children.
Oh, right. The legacy continues, Baba.
3 daughters and 1 son.
That's so he kept on going.
He kept on going.
Lisa, Aaron, Evan, Eva, and Reed.
Reed Evan, is a guy.
Reed
so let me ask you guys. So I'll start with Weza. Weza, how many kids do you want to have?
Yeah. I think 3 might be like an optimal. I think not more than 3.
Like 2 boys, 1 girl?
3 boys.
He's rolling squad deep. Squad deep.
Simpio, how about you?
Okay, so I want 3 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want like.
I have a feeling Simpio will just be given daughters. Like.
Yeah, I also. So,
I rebuke that. I rebuke that. So I'm going to have both boys and girls. And preferably, I'd want a son first.
Yeah.
Yeah, because having a daughter first, that sounds like.
So what are you saying? So you're going to have, 1.2 daughters?
So I'm not really fussy, but I know I want both.
You want both.
I can't just have boys, and I can't just have girls. Within my family, it's actually quite funny, because my dad's side of the family, it's just boys.
Yeah.
So there's a high chance there could be just boys.
Your mom's side of the family?
It's a mixture.
Okay.
So
it's fine, guys. There's no. We're not gonna go into this thing because this person.
No, but wait, Lesego, tell us about you, bro.
So let me tell you. So I think a year ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
There was a point where I said I wanted 5 boys.
Yeah, I remember. You
like
wanted to roll
squad deep.
Yeah, you wanted to roll squad
like
deep.
Proper squad
like
deep.
The back line. We used to call it the back line.
Hello, back.
That would be so cool, bro. Like imagine they all played in the same.
But yeah. and then one of my mates, he was like, oh, you want 5 boys? Like, it's not gonna happen. You're gonna have 4 girls?
Yo.
And
yo.
1 boy, I was like, really? This guy, I rebuke that, so.
Yeah. Hey, no, bro, no. Yes.
But in essence, I don't know, since last year, as you think about it, there is no fundamental need.
Yeah.
Okay. There actually is no fundamental need.
No, there's no fundamental need for kids?
No.
So you're not gonna have any kids?
Yo, this is deep, bro.
It's not a priority.
Right now?
It's not a priority at all. I actually started thinking about it because, I don't know, I like my life right now.
Okay, so, I know you're getting married at 40.
This man is selfish.
No, we're going to get married So before we say we want to get married at 30, right? What did we say, Simpy?
I said 30.
Yeah, 35. We said 30 in the beginning, like 27, maybe like 28, 30. Then Lesejo said, don't do that to yourself. That is too soon.
35.
Yeah, you were saying 35, I think a year ago. Now he's shot up to 40, bro.
Yeah,
40.
So I think 35 is cool. Yeah, get married at 35.
How old will she be? Like 27.
22, bro.
hold on. My wife's not born yet. Drops mic.
Okay. You are one pedophile of a man.
I'm not going to take that far. No, if I'm 35, she'll probably be 30. I'm cool. But then.
Okay, so
then
no.
You probably have kids that are like, what, 37, 38?
That's getting late, bro.
According to who? What does it mean? What does that actually mean?
Like, it sounds like it's getting late to
what
me.
What does it mean? Because let's put it this way, right? If you have a kid of 40, right? By the time you're 50, they'll be 10. By the time you're 60, when you're retiring,
they'll be 20.
They'll be 20, which I see a lot of that happening right now.
No, it is happening.
A lot of my mates' parents are retired.
Yeah.
So it actually, you know, having a kid when you're 40 is actually not a bad idea at all. The interesting thing is, though, I was reading a statistic and people are.
But that's a kid. But what if you're planning to have
rolled, you know? Yeah, roll squad deep, bro. What's going to happen?
Yeah. So So it's bringing me on to my next point now. So actually reading a statistic that says that smart people are rendering themselves extinct. Why? Because in an inverted commas, right? In families where the literacy of the parents isn't that high, so probably they probably have like a matric or just a matric, right? They tend to have a lot of kids.
Yeah.
They tend to have like 5, 6.
Yeah, I've heard a very bad line that said that said rich people make money and poor people make babies.
Bars.
Yo.
But if you go if you go to a wealthy family, right, you find that a lot of wealthy families only have max 2 kids.
Yeah, exactly. Proving that line
that's running around. Max 2 kids, which means that Simpiwe, whether you get a house in Sandhurst or whatever, right, there is an 80% probability that your son will get married to a chick who was born in like Harangua or
something like that.
You know, that's born in a township or something like that. Yes, so that's going to start happening. And then obviously, small kids are going to start happening because there'll be all that, you know, white people dating black people, etc., etc. So that's what's going to happen.
So Lesejo is saying that he's going to marry a white girl. That's what he's trying to say, I think. Like, in between lines, I feel like you're trying to say you're going to marry a white girl. I don't know.
I saw this picture where Julius Malema...
Yeah,
it's an old picture where Julius Malema has this model on his lap. It's a white chick.
A blonde even, bro.
Yeah, and then the caption was, Que tseres toko sa
lejoa! Oh my gosh!
But I mean, listen, and this is the perfect time to really just take it forward from Aria's show. So Wes and I were on Aria's show, we're talking about financial management and how to handle your finances.
Yeah.
And it's actually a very tough thing. It's a very difficult thing. So I don't blame wealthy people from getting like 2 kids. They're like, nah, guys, like the way my investments are set up, we're just going to have 2 kids. It will be nice.
Okay, so I think we've spoken about families and all of that, but I think families need role models, right?
100%.
And we've been talking about young people and doing amazing things. So let's have young people that are role models to the youth. And that's what we're having next on the show. One of these young individuals that are providing solutions to our country's problems. So after this, we're going to be talking to some of the youth's role models. So, yeah, see, this is quite a session, and this is... yeah, man. So, yeah, bro, like, we've been having a session, and what I'm doing right now is actually trying to post some of the pictures from the last session we had in studio, because we spoke about a lot, eh? Lesejo's deep thoughts and pregnant pauses, and we spoke about young individuals doing amazing things, and Wizard just had to step out to go save the world. I like saying it like that because it sounds decent. The fact that he left us,
he left us just all high and dry.
But it's okay.
It's alright.
I'll tell him next time that he should say goodbye to all of us because he just disappeared. I don't know what he did. Like,
that's the problem when you have multiple streams of income, isn't it? This is the fundamental issue.
Exactly, bro. Exactly. So, let's continue on with the show. And like I said before our break, that we're having one young individual that's a role model to the youth of South Africa, meeting the problems that we face and providing solutions to them. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome Phila Bongo. Welcome, Phila Bongo. Oh, wait, hold up, buddy. There you go.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah, man, how you doing, bro?
I'm all right. How's everyone?
Wow, 100%, buddy, 100%. 100%, bro. So, Phila, tell us a bit about yourself before we get into the solutions that you've solved in the world. Just tell us who Phila was and growing up. Just let's get to know you, you know?
Phila Sandebongo is a young man born in Johannesburg. Small place called Togoza. And the times where it was rife, my parents decided to move us down to KZN, spent most of my primary and college high school years that side. Back in Joburg around 2003, 2004, grew up between Joburg and KZN. And yeah, that's, I've gone from having a corporate job within the financial services space.
this is going to be an interesting story. Yeah.
To, the entrepreneurial bug biting me a long time ago and me not listening to finally listening and actually identifying what is problems that we, problems that we're facing and basically being focused on how do we get solutions to people. I come from a company known as Gamva Energy. We are in the renewable energy space. Our focus stemmed from, if you remember a few years back, when we, our economy started slowing down. It was quite funny that our economy started slowing down at the same point in time as us having power problems. It talks a story around who's the pillar of who. Power is a strong pillar of any economy growing, actually. So one of the things that we monitored was, what does that mean? It means that the guy working at a manufacturing plant, because the manufacturing plant has downtime, they're losing money, they're going to downsize, the guy loses his job, he has a car, he has a house, he will lose those items. And that's, in summary, a very basic way of how we view our economy getting to where it is now. So one of the things that we monitored was within the spaces that we were previously in, renewable energy was a hot topic amongst those within boardrooms. But if you,
the influential people, bro, the people that make the decisions. I love how you said it so nicely and so diplomatically, the people that make decisions. We're talking about renewable energy. So that's why it was a necessary thing to jump onto, right?
Yeah. So it was funny because you get home in the afternoon, whether you've got electricity or not. You get out of the gate, take a walk down your road. You're not going to see one solar panel. You're not going to see one gas plant. You're not going to see one wind farm. So one of the things we looked at is obviously what is practical within communities. And our focus is basically bringing renewable energy technologies into communities. Whereby if I walk down the street, if I go to a shopping center, I want to know that this center is actually conscious of what's happening, that they're generating so much from renewable alternatives. Yes, there's financial benefit for them, but I want to know that. And I want to actually be able to use that for myself at home. You start researching, obviously, you start getting to know and understand these things. And one of the things I actually experienced it last week, I was at the Power Expo, which was, I think, in Sandton. I went there with two perspectives. One of them was as an ordinary person who doesn't know anything, and the other was obviously to build business partnerships. I'll say if the one was successful, the latter. But if I look at it from a perspective of being a homeowner or a person who lives somewhere, I would have walked in and out very much confused. And that talked to one of the things that we identified to say, renewable energy is not understandable to the layman on the street.
Yeah.
100%.
So how are you going to influence, how are you going to get people to actually buy the systems which are considered expensive? So that poses two questions, the how. To get the person, you need to get them to understand the technology,
yeah,
which is one of the things that we focused on. Enabling them to actually be able to afford it. It's painful that we live in a country where we've got a very established financial services market.
Yeah.
But it's easier to buy a car than it is to actually have renewable energy.
Yeah. It's deep, bro. It's very deep. But now, as we carry on with our chat, I actually want to ask you. So, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I am 29.
29. And you said you were in the financial services industry.
Spent a good solid 8 years.
A good solid year. That's real, bro. That must have been some painful years, bro. Like, because it seems like you always knew that you wanted to do something, right?
Look, that was intentional. I'm a firm believer in... I watched a talk which was done by Vusi Temuwai, where he was talking about... In South Africa, our problem is as startups or as entrepreneurs is we like to play it small.
Yeah.
Gave a very painful example, and I know it's, I think, now developed where he gave, I'm going to use names.
You're free, bro.
Don't be scared.
On radio.
I'm going to use names. He used Absa as a bank.
Yeah.
And he put that next to the Stockfell market.
Yeah.
And he said, the Stockfell market is... been around way longer.
Yeah.
But which is of more value.
Mm.
And what he was pointing to is us as entrepreneurs, we like being stuck in the startup phase where you're playing it small, you're keeping it small, you're not trying to do something which will make a difference.
Yeah.
Because to be honest with you, across any and many industries, to make a real difference, you need to scale.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's
true. You need to think about that. You need to have a plan as to how you're going to achieve that. You need to understand where you're going to start. And you need to understand what your purpose is.
Yeah.
And those are the fundamentals.
You said something very interesting there, understanding what your purpose is. So for 8 years, did you have an idea what your purpose was while you're still in the financial services industry?
My purpose, yes. Okay. To answer your question directly, I fully understood that.
Okay.
I also understood that I needed to get certain tools which... Yes, you go through pain in getting, which is knowledge, experience, being able to speak languages that
corporate talk,
corporate talk,
yeah.
To understand where they come from,
yeah,
and hopefully be equipped to be on the other side of the table and effectively
get your ideas across,
and get what you want done.
Can I ask, what color tie did you wear? Going
to it's a very interesting
financial industry that you worked at.
I said to you, I've worked 8 years within corporate. I haven't worn a tie in 6.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's very interesting.
And the reason behind that is there's a man, I won't mention his name, who once said to me, going into a meeting and wearing a tie, and you a lot of people focus on the color of tie that I wear, then the content of what I'm going to say at the meeting.
And that's why I was so asked, what color tie did you wear? Yes.
So I focused on actually getting my knowledge up, getting my understanding and my inputs. So, for example, hypothetically speaking, at that point in time, getting into renewable energy, what content are we bringing? What abilities are we bringing?
And that's
what
the fundamental things, right?
And
what's the value proposition?
So me coming and sitting next to you, and I know the gentleman.
I'm wearing a tie. Wearing I'm thinking of taking off my tie. Like, yeah, that's actually quite funny.
As much as we must look good, we must also do things that sound and make sense.
Exactly. And for those that are wondering, I'm wearing a red tie today. So
yeah, he is. I'm not judging him.
Okay, so let's. Carry on. We're running short of time. Hey, this hour is always very short.
That's the most frustrating thing.
Hey, bro.
So from what we understand now, Pila, pretty much, I mean, you guys bring renewable energy into communities.
Yep.
Specifically, are you guys going into the normal guy who has a house, or are you guys also looking at commercial properties as well.
And just to add on to that question, because I want to add on to that, as you're doing that, I hear you're also part of the Red Bull Amapico program. How are they helping you do what you need to do? So two questions in one.
Okay, I'll start with the first question.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. What you'll find now is a traditional way of bringing solar into any space has been bring money from outside of the country, which is expensive, especially when you have a rand sitting where it is.
Yeah.
And you sell a system to someone. So I then pose the question to many people to say how many people can afford that, whether you're a commercial or build a commercial shopping center owner, mm-hmm. or you own a house or you're renting at a complex or a house. So affordability remains something that it needs to be affordable. So one of the things we've done is, yes, we are in the space of, we're focusing on commercial and industrial buildings, mm-hmm. to install systems there. But the impact that we also seek is to be, we've structured a way of being able to, for every system that we install, which is a massive system, you're looking at projects, I'm going to get a bit technical for a second, like under 1 megawatt. But what our intention is to intentionally, we match a small system in within the same community that the center is operating at, that we install. That at our cost, that it will be a small system that a school can use, and for a school that operates during the day only, or a clinic, or a church, or a recreational facility, that brings renewable energy to the eyes of the people. Mm. When you go to school, you see these panels, you're going to be able to ask your teacher, what is that? How does it work? That sparks thinking from a child's perspective. When you go to church, there is someone who's going to see that and be like, how is this working? How do I get this to my home? When I come to your home and visit you and I see that your complex or your house has these things on, these shiny things on your roof, how do I get one? What is it doing for you? So you trigger word of mouth, and you trigger it by doing good and actually doing something. Because for us to just get into a contract with a commercial building owner where we install, generate, and they pay us, it's one way.
Or it's one of the streams, you know.
It's one of the streams, but you could also go and install another one at a local local school where you put panels, you do a small 5-10 kilowatt system capacity, you install it there, and the school runs.
And apparently the best form of marketing is word of mouth still, right?
That's what I heard.
Exactly.
So now to the second question.
Red Bull Amapico program?
Red Bull Amapico.
That must be interesting. I've always wondered about it. Like,
good family of people. You'd be surprised that in the country there's two groups, which is the group that I'm in, 2015-2016 group, and the group from the previous year.
Yeah.
Very energetic bunch of people. We leverage off each other quite a lot.
Yeah.
Not just Red Bull, the brand, but the entrepreneurs that are my colleagues now. So from a skills sharing perspective, that is something that I found quite critical.
Yeah.
Red Bull themselves have afforded us a platform where, and it's an enabling platform.
Yeah.
From them opening up their office space to us, basics that you need to actually operate.
Yeah.
To them connecting us to markets, connecting us to potential investors who will come. So them not directly investing money in companies,
but they're giving you facilities,
giving you those enabling platforms where if I am being connected to an investor, I need to package and make sure that I'm presenting my business case in a very viable, sensible way.
Yeah.
And I will be honest with you, any guy on the street trying to connect to an investor, we're not in Silicon Valley where you can't meet a person at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what has that done for you in essence? I mean, 2015, 2016, it's almost been a year, right? Or is it a year?
No. We started, our academy started in end of October.
End of October, okay.
So we in the first couple of months.
Yeah.
How has that done? 18-month program.
Yeah.
There is strong and very regular interaction. One of the guys from Red Bull was trying to call me as I was sitting down, and that's the kind of support that, so where you find barriers in getting access to anything, yeah, or you have something that has broken, it's quite comforting to have them to say, you know what, I've tried, this is where I've gotten to.
Yeah.
Please assist
yeah,
where you can. And this is not give me freebies. that's not their business.
There's no time for that, bro.
So, Pila, I mean, yeah, like you said, you guys have been here since the end of October. How's the money looking? Hmm? Are we sitting nice?
Are you comfortable?
Have fees fallen?
No, not yet. Not yet. But it will be.
It will be.
Yeah.
And that's the type of thinking we need.
Yeah.
You know, with a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of just people in general.
Yeah.
And I'll refer to Black Twitter. Because it is what it is.
Hey, you're a brave man talking about Black Twitter.
No, but it is what it is. Because, I mean, a lot of people are like, yo, if you don't make any stacks in like the first 2 months, then it's like, psst.
Look,
what's going on?
One of the things that because there's individual decisions that you have to make.
Yeah.
To say that, can I go into this?
Mm.
So you obviously need to have a sensible mind on your shoulders where you plan, mm-hmm, and you, I'm going to drum the savings model, you plan, you manage your expenses, blah, blah, blah. But also, you also need to be realistic and in your planning and doing whatever you're doing whilst you're working, whilst you're studying, do research in what you're saying you're going into. You need to put in some sweat.
Yeah. You got to work, right?
Yeah, no, you need to. But I think we're at a fairly developed stage, and we're talking to potential investors, mm, to actually, mm, enable the financial capability. The money will come. The money is, I think, that is not actually...
The reason, it will come. You pursue purpose, the money follows you, right?
The reason I, for example, spent quite a bit of time at the expo last week was... Not because I was out there signing checks and purchasing anything and everything there on stands, but it was to build partnerships that we are to use in our installations.
Yeah.
Because there's a variety of people that you need in this. Mm. But that's not the complication we want the community member to actually see. But mm, that's what we deal with.
Yeah.
We don't.
So that's some seriously powerful stuff, man. And I think we definitely need to get him in again, because I still want to find out about the future for your company and the way forward.
I have so many questions.
But the hour is over, bro. Like, this hour thing is killing me. But we
so
will.
I survived it.
Yeah, you survived. See, you didn't need a double shot of water. You are all good, bro. 100%.
Plus, this man's from the banking industry. You're a great person.
Yeah. But ladies and gentlemen, that is the hour. I'm sorry. Like, we will be here same time next week for another session. But until then, I pray and hope that you have a blessed and wonderful week. This has been Unplugged and In Charge Radio. This is Simpiwe and...
Sokomapanga, we love you more than Kanye loves
you. See you next week, guys. When you're on an ultralight beam, this is a God dream. This is a God dream.
This is everything. This is CliffCentral.com.